It was my email. I was reading that German guy's 5 questions. It was relevant. You guys are dickbags.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we delve into the character development behind our Minnesota Renaissance Festival characters. We talk about the religion our characters have and other assorted stuff.
We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover. As always, joined by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
That is the guy sitting on this side of the microphone.
And my husband, Nick Glover.
I'm on the other side of the microphone.
Great radio!
These are all true facts. Excellent. So yes, Geeks Without God. Today we are going to talk about Minnesota Renaissance Festival, character development with kind of a specificity of religion. And yeah. And yes, I said specificity, but I meant specificity. Fuck it. We're going to talk about character development and religion at the Renaissance Festival.
We're going to talk about thesauruses, too.
Shut the fuck up. Because as Tim pointed out when we were discussing things while we were eating earlier, you know, if you're out at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival and you are a character, your character is 99% of the time is going to be religious. Because obviously there were atheists.
Sure.
You know,
they just didn't talk about it.
No, because you got killed.
Yeah, right. you can bring it up.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were people that didn't.
Drowned, then burned.
Yeah. I'm sure there were people in the Renaissance that didn't believe in God, but it wasn't the sort of thing you could discuss.
Well, like Isaac Newton, I mean, there were people that they had doubts. I mean,
there's a lot of neat things happening with thought that kind of happened after that in the Baroque era, but. Where they're thinking like a very, very enlightened view of Christianity, which was, hey, maybe, you know, God isn't the God we've imagined this whole time. And it's like a combination of forces God has given us our brains to think and clearly we're capable of logic and reason. Therefore, like, why should we deny using them? And so it wasn't necessarily all. Compared to the rest of human history,
like
it could have been kind of good-ish.
Well, yeah, there's a huge scientific explosion in the Renaissance. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the things that it's about. There's art becomes about something other than religious iconography. I mean,
yes.
There's still a lot of iconography and art in the Renaissance, but it doesn't just have to be about pictures of Jesus or Mary Magdalene.
Right, or depictions of the Stations of the Cross or things. I mean, it can be, there were almost, I mean, I dare say for the time, whimsical interpretations of religious iconography too. I mean, like things like, or even just more serene, things where it's like, this might be a painting of bucolic, you know, beauty that maybe represents God. People were seeing God in things other than church.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
And they could get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there has been, I mean, hasn't there been, and maybe this is just a Dan Brown book, hasn't there been some kind of idea that Da Vinci was kind of secretly, if not an atheist, like an agnostic?
I don't know about that.
I don't know. I don't know a lot about the man.
It's hard to say.
They talk more about the fact that Da Vinci and Michelangelo were gay than they do about their religious.
He was ambidextrous. He could handle a dick equally well in either hand.
I almost spit Dr. Pepper everywhere. So when you're developing a character, and now we have two very drastic, differing, you know, sides of this here, because Tim, it was your 29th year.
You developed
your character 29 years ago.
This character I've been doing for about 15.
Okay,
yeah.
So when you first went out there. Were you were just a kid. Were you street or were you like CKC? Like,
I was a street performer. I've been an entertainer ever since I started.
Okay.
Never did anything else out of the Renaissance Festival. But
what was your first character?
It was a horrible character. My first character was a character named Bits and Pieces, and it was a multiple personality character.
Oh my God!
I was trying to play 5 different characters, and it was stupid. It was just
dumb.
How old are you?
I was 17.
Okay.
I didn't know any better.
No,
I really didn't.
No, it's adorable.
And it was there
like
were...
Like Bitson was your first name?
Bitson.
Pieces.
Yeah, Pieces was Bitson the last Pieces. Name. So
it's very Marvel.
I tried to do that, and I didn't do it very successfully. So the next year, I decided that what I would do is every weekend, I would play a different character, a member of the Pieces family, from different... from different countries based on the theme of the weekend.
Okay. Okay. No, that's good. All right. That's good.
I get it.
And what happened was I got to weekend number, I think it was 3, which was the Middle Eastern weekend.
Oh, no.
And I came up with this gypsy character called Sheikhan Pieces, and I had so much fun with that I didn't stop being
okay.
that character. And I was that character for the next, I think, 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah. And then... Then I decided I wanted to do a change, and I came up with the character that I am now, which is Thomas Otteson. His original conception was he was an Irish tinker inventor.
Mm. Genius. I'm looking at your
bracket
up there. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a genius.
Spelt so, very creatively.
Yes. And so I would come up with these crazy inventions and show them to people. And I had this set of bamboo wings that I had built that I would walk around with.
Da Vinci style.
Da Vinci style. But yep. If anybody pointed out that it was Da Vinci style, I would talk about Da Vinci being a hack who stole my ideas. So
the Edison to your Tesla.
Yes, exactly. So Thomas Edison,
yeah.
Thomas Odison.
Almost because
I was Irish.
Odison.
The Odison.
Yep, Odison.
So and
yep.
That's still my character name, although I don't really do that shtick anymore because I've been performing with the Drakes.
Because you're mega gridded.
Yeah. So, but when I came up with the character, when I was Sheikhan Pieces, I didn't, you know, he was. From the Middle East. He was a gypsy.
Was your accent somewhat racist?
It was. I tried to make it as unidentifiable as possible.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, sure.
I mean, they're all a little bit out there. We're all a little bit.
So when I came up with the Thomas character, I was like, the character's Irish. And I said, you know, and I wasn't a Catholic. I didn't really believe in God. But I was like, Thomas believes in God.
Mm.
He's a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
He's Irish.
Yeah.
He believes in God. And so I made really conscious choices that I still do now. If I mention God on stage at the Renaissance Festival, I cross myself.
Hmm.
Because that's part of the character.
Yeah.
It's like if you say God, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. You cross yourself to, I don't know, make God be okay with it or something like
that. Yeah.
Did
so you don't cross the streams.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you, so was there more... So you, I mean, right away, you thought to yourself, like, as this character believes in God, it was religion was a box you had to determine while you were filling out your stats.
Yeah.
So what was there more of an aspect of that out there then? Because now I feel like it's so much more fantasy fair, and I know that that's a recent
that
shift.
That is really recent.
Like in the last like 8 years, that's been the
less
shift.
Less reenactment, with, more.
Yeah. So know, when you were out there, was there more religion?
I don't think that religion has ever been a really big piece of the Renaissance Festival, but we did for a long time have a Catholic priest out there who played the cardinal.
Mm,
and
okay.
who actually celebrated Catholic Mass on Sunday, but was part of the royal court.
Oh, wow.
He was a funny-ass guy. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome dude. I'm pretty sure he was seriously gay.
Gay?
Yeah. a Catholic priest?
I know. It's shocking and hard to believe it. And I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I.
So like Chad Dutton is whimsically gay,
yeah.
but who's seriously gay? Like Anderson Cooper?
No, yeah, it's like they have books they study. They take tests.
They take a class.
Yeah. They're you know.
Yeah, you go to school to be seriously
right,
gay.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
PhD.
So we had the bishop,
Doctor. Yeah,
Doctor Faggot.
Yeah.
When I was part of the group that ran the festival, I was one of the production staff. You know, we really tried to shy away from fantasy characters. We were trying to get away from them.
That's the way it was when I remember when I was a kid. It being that way.
Yeah.
It was very much reenactment and very much not. Like if someone asked you, you know, if you knew the hour and you looked at your watch, they would gasp in amazement at what it was and like, you know, things like that.
And I always thought that was a little excessive. I mean,
yes.
Entertainment is your primary function. So that doesn't bother me. But I did enjoy the fact that we tried to go for a more realistic depiction of the Renaissance. You know, there's nothing Renaissance. nothing. No, not a fucking thing Renaissance about fairies, really.
Honestly, there's nothing Renaissance about pirates.
Yeah, well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if we want to get into it, there are the pirates, the fairies, the mermaids, the pretty much everything that's out there, Thora Pandora is more Baroque than Renaissance. And again, by no means take any of this as a criticism of that, because I fully embrace that it is now a fantasy Ren fair, and that's become the trend across the country. Yeah. It really has.
I mean, the royal court is the most Renaissance part of our fair, because they are definitely, you know, it's a King Henry.
Yep.
I mean, though he's not Henry VIII,
no,
certainly the Renaissance.
But he has an Elizabeth.
Yeah, I mean, they aren't wearing Elizabethan clothing. Well, they're wearing Renaissance.
Alice the cook does recreational cooking.
Yeah.
I mean, that aspect of her act is not only historic. I mean, it's educational. Yeah. It's historically accurate.
Yeah.
She's done quite a bit of research, and her methods of preparation and all that are fairly authentic for the time period and area. I dig that big time.
I do too, but I
don't think that's a standard that everyone should be held to unless they want to.
The traditional Irish music that like a ton of bands sing out there, that's all 1700s, 1800s.
Yep. I fully support
a lot of it actually is modern written, but sounds like it was written in.
Oh, sure.
My thing is here's the thing. We would not be out there if people weren't paying to come in the gates.
Yep.
The people paying to come in the gates want fantasy fair. And therefore, that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
And so, I know that I'm new to it, and so for me to be like, I have no problem with it, of course, I'm new. But I understand that you have to embrace change or die. That's just the way of life, you know? Yeah. And so, the people who don't like where it's gone are happy to not work there or not come anymore. And some of them do.
I think there are too many fucking fairies. I don't think we need nearly
I agree well that there are too many goddamn fucking fairies.
But you know what? There's the forest, the Fairy Wing Forest, is the former enchanted.
The fairy ghetto?
Yeah, it's fairy ghetto now, and that's
if I was the director of the festival and somebody came to me and said I wanted to be a fairy, I'd say pick something else or don't come to the festival.
Oh yeah, for sure. And they added. I mean, I think after now, that's probably how it's going to go.
I should hope
so. They added four more to the cast because they did the Fairy Wing Forest. Yeah. That's why four newbies were fairies. So, I don't know how long they'll last. Honestly, so, they don't even have a thing.
What is Olive? So you're from the beginning. You've been Olive, and I've been Beefcake.
Yes, you were going to be Angus. That was your name.
Yeah.
And then when you went up on stage,
and it was like too many Anguses. There's an Angus that's well established there.
Yep.
I picked a different Scottish name because I was wearing a kilt.
Cormac
loaf.
Yep. But the reason it was Beefcake. Now the loaf thing didn't. Your first
year. The loaf thing was later.
You were Beefcake before I was in Ville. Yep. We were just patrons.
Yeah.
And so then you were Beefcake, and I decided I wanted to be Olive because I like the name.
Yeah.
Always have. And I wanted it to be something that felt like a real person's name.
Yep.
Since yours was kind of a joke name.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be too like puke and snot, sure. Kind of a thing. Right. So I went with Olive. So yes, Olive and Cormac Beefcake Loaf is the technical thing.
So we're the loafs.
We are married, and I feel like we've been married a long time because since we're our normal ages, we would have been married at this point for like 15 years.
I feel
years.
Like our characters are largely embellishments on us.
Oh, for sure.
But I mean, Beefcake is like, okay, so my Scottish ancestry comes from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
My tiny, tiny bit Irish and the English ancestry I have comes from my dad.
Yeah.
Beefcake's dad is English.
Mm-hmm.
Beefcake's mother is Scottish.
I, Molly, have just like, it's like Irish, English, Dutch, and German is my whole thing. So I just have kind of I do a Renaissance festival accent.
Right,
that is what I do. And I don't have any shame in that because there's people out there that don't even try that.
Yeah.
So I do a stage voice kind of thing, and
you speak clearly and enunciate and
it's just, but I haven't ever thought about, I honestly hadn't thought about the religion aspect of it until you brought it up earlier tonight.
Yeah.
And I think that if any, like we had a joke last year that, I tried to do this thing, it got too annoying, so I stopped, where it was Olive is afraid of dragons, because her house burned down, and she's convinced that it was dragons who did it.
Oh, I remember that.
And so what I did was, there's that dragon hookah dude who just comes and... the one time I saw him, I decided I was going to run away and act like I was all afraid of him and ran away, and then he just started following me, and it was super creepy. Like, he was just trying to make me do that. Well, like,
From
his perspective, it was probably...
It's street interaction.
Yep. It counts. It's funny. Yep. Someone could be amused watching that, but it was...
All the time.
Yeah.
We got to too much. Our paths cross too often.
After a while, it becomes a bit that just won't die.
So it's
you said Thomas can't see fairies.
Right.
Olive talks to fairies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say that we, Beefcake and Olive, believe in magic and believe in mythological creatures. I talked to Pansy the unicorn like she's a unicorn. You talked about eating her.
I did. Unicorn steaks.
I think it was Abby brought Pansy over.
To trade with us.
To see if they had anything to trade. And we were like, oh, I don't know if we could trade with the unicorn. You know, everything you have is so precious. And Beefcake was like, unicorn steaks. And it was like, run, Pansy, run. Like, he's too hungry.
too rare to eat. That must make it more delicious.
And the funny thing is that, while my character is religious, he believes in God, doesn't believe in any fantasy characters, and can't see him.
Mm-hmm.
I have this bit going with Rich Shepherdson at the Hollow Hill, one of the people at the Riddle Booth. He plays a troll, and I've had lengthy arguments with him about how he doesn't exist.
That's great.
And that he's just a figment of my imagination.
That's really good.
Clearly, I ate something bad last night, and that it is manifesting itself.
A bit of potato. Yeah, right.
So that's part of my character. It's just, as much as my character believes in God, which, frankly, every bit is imaginary as fairies.
Yeah, but it's funny that you'd believe in one imaginary thing and not the other, but it's historical. But
the one imaginary thing to me is the historical thing. And to be fair, you know, with any character out at the festival... Most of this is internal. The audience never needs to know any of this shit.
And I'd also argue that I bet most of the people, a good chunk of the people that are out there don't have this kind of thoughts about their character and don't think of that deep about it, in the sense that, like, they have their one or two or three things they do, and that's their character, and they don't think about all the other parts of it. I think
one way is not better.
Yeah.
I think interactions are more interesting if people aren't just a set of quirks.
Or a prop.
And that's the biggest that's the biggest problem that a lot of people out at the festival have, is they pick a quirk or a prop, and that is who they are. It's like, no, you need to pick a person and be a person.
Yes, I agree.
And then you can engage in these really fascinating conversations with people, and you understand. And they never need to know why you respond to them in a certain way. But you know why you respond to them in a certain way. And people get so scared of the concept of improvisation. It's like, it's not improvisation if you know
how you're just being Thomas.
If you know that your character doesn't see fairies, then your response to a fairy is always going to have something to do with that fact.
And now I want to take this. I mean, like, it's probably never going to come up, but now I like this idea, because I was just thinking, there was a time when Olive got stuck up on top of a trash can because a wizard put her up there and she couldn't get down. And I was literally acting as though my feet were glued to the trash can, and I could not move them.
A little kid had a stick.
And a little girl had a magic fairy wand that she'd made at the wand making booth, and she wished me down. So Olive clearly is both affected by and believes in magic.
Or was Olive playing with a kid and playing imagination with a kid?
Hard to say, because she's kind of ridiculous. That's my whole thing is silly.
Like with the unicorn, Beefcake and the unicorn.
Yeah.
Was he playing along with someone in a unicorn costume?
See, and I don't know. I think...
Or, you know, like that's another option. It doesn't have to be another option. Like, you could see fairies and know that they're people in a fairy costume.
Sure.
And actors performing a role. Any acknowledgments that they are a fairy are, you know, play.
Yeah.
Character playing, not just playing a character.
What I was going to get at, though, is that maybe it's that... It's interesting to me, the idea that, like, Olive maybe wouldn't believe in God because she's never seen God.
Right.
But she believes in fairies because... right there. Yeah. And believes there's a unicorn walks by every day. Yeah. Like, I mean, but I don't believe in God because I haven't ever seen God. Like, I mean, I hear this stuff about the in The Gunslinger, they talk about the man Jesus, which I just love that phrase. Like, she talks like, I've never seen the man Jesus. How can I believe in him? You know, like, except that sometimes he comes to festival. Yeah. So that would be kind of hilarious, is to be like, I believe. Like, he's there. I think Thomas was right.
Beefcake's Church of England. I mean, he'd be Protestant, and it probably doesn't matter very much. Mm-hmm. But
he probably goes to church every Sunday, because if you don't go to church every Sunday,
that's what you do.
Oh yeah, right. We probably absolutely go to church every Sunday so we can trade. I mean, to be honest, that's the whole thing, is that we, you know, and I think a big part of it is just like, you have to be, it has to feel natural. And this actually is, we did this pub crawl. And the other pub crawl is taken by another character, Lily and Willie, the pirate king and queen.
Right.
And they are also a married couple, right, in real life and in their act. And they are kind of opposite, like the reverse in size to us. Lily is tall and very buxom and very like and Willie is smaller and stuff. So, but their show is we were told is way raunchy, sexy, dirty. And they were saying to us, you could make your show raunchier, sexy, if you want, you know, to not to compare, but you know, you can do that if you want. And we talked about it, and it's like, but Beefcake and Olive aren't sexy, they're silly. So like, we might make raunchy comments, but they're silly raunchy comments, even in Ville. Like, I mean, I don't have boobs, so I'm not shaking my boobs at guys. Right. Like, we don't do the whole, like, we don't do bump and grind raunchy kind of stuff. Yeah. We're silly.
Innuendo. Heavy innuendo. Yeah. Clever.
Yeah. So, the idea that you can have two, I mean, if you think about it, you know, married couple, you know, like both doing, willing to do raunchy stuff, both kind of in that not quite peasants, but not quite merchant class kind of thing, but have so different, you know, converging like attitudes. You know, that's good characterization, really, you know?
Yeah, I think characterization, and that's where the concept of whether or not my character was religious came from. It's like, well, how do I respond to the to the stimulus of religion, and what does that say about this character? But you know, he's a skeptic. My character is a skeptic.
Well, he's an inventor.
He doesn't believe in fantasy characters. Mm-hmm. He believes that they're impossible. Yeah. He's an inventor. He believes in science, and yet at the same time, he is religious because he has to be. Because
he's conflicted like a person.
So anyway, it's really an interesting.
Last year, Brother Benjamin.
Oh yeah.
He does the marriage renewals, the vow renewals. Yeah. Beefcake and Olive did the vow renewals with him last year, and he says, "Oh, I have some pre-written words. You know, I've got these religious ones, I've got non-religious ones." Well, let me just say, the non-religious vows are religious.
They're nature religious, but they are religious.
They are, I mean, half of them are from the Bible.
Love is patient, love is kind, love is, it's the Corinthians thing. Yeah.
So, I mean, I changed the words for how I said them for people's vow renewals, just because that was something where it was like, sure, Beefcake might be religious, and I'm not, and I would feel very false saying religious words for someone at a vow renewal.
This was a human ceremony, not a character ceremony. Yeah, right.
There I feel like that.
It's,
you know,
a human thing.
You're stepping outside of the character to some extent.
A little
extent.
Bit, yeah.
If I got asked to, you know, officiate a vow renewal, for instance, you know, my character would never be asked to do that. That's somebody asking Tim to do it.
I'm on the list of officiants and for Renaissance Festival weddings, and I've had some people contact me, and both times I've said, you know, like, that's fine, I could do your hand fasting, or yes, I would be happy to do your wedding, but right up front, you should know that I'm an atheist, and I you don't want me to be the one to say words involving God, goddesses, anything like that, because I won't mean them. Right. So you should pick someone else. If that's what you want, you should pick someone else. It's your wedding.
You want someone to mean it. It matters, right.
You want someone to be meaning everything they say at your wedding.
Why start with false?
But I've also said, you know, I could do it as Olive, or I could do it as, you know, Molly Glover.
Yeah.
In a costume, whatever you want, you know.
Yeah.
I would like it if you listeners are out there. Now, we've run into a few of you at a festival, and that's been really awesome. So if you want to come up to us and have a conversation with our characters about religion,
oh,
I would love that.
That would be
And I think we'd all like that. So please, by all means, come up. Tim is Thomas, Molly is Olive, Nick is Beefcake.
Yep.
If you address us as such, then we'll be able to, well, it helps us stay in character. We're supposed to stay in character. And while we love meeting you guys, it is nice if you can try to help us stay in character on the street. You know, yeah. it sucks to have to break character just because you want to be like, I do like you. Hello, hello. You know, it is. Yeah. But, all right, so is it time for five questions?
I think it's time for five questions.
All right. Tim, do you want to read the five questions that I have here, or do you?
I can read them all off. Right. I haven't gotten to read them.
Yeah,
off
I know. Recently, so we have questions right. from who this time? It's a listener.
All right, it's William Donahue.
Ooh, William Donahue. Excellent. All right, so William Donahue, will ask the first question. What is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Rango and the making of short Rango and ILM: Perfect Asymmetry, both on Netflix. A movie about stories, which is the best kind of movie to make. Gore Verbinski should stick to doing animated features as his live action work gets stretched to the point of snapping by the demands of his imagination.
Yeah. I never saw it. There's Johnny Depp as a chameleon, right? Or something.
Yeah, I did see it. And most people I know really, really liked it, and I thought it was good.
Okay.
Not like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing ever.
People thought that?
There were some people that really, really were in love with it. And I liked it.
It's a Western. I like Westerns.
Yeah,
I
Western.
If it was on cable, I'd give it a shot.
It was on Netflix.
We do have Netflix
now. So, number two, who is your favorite atheist character?
Granny Weatherwax from Terry Pratchett's Discworld novels.
Oh.
Witches on the disc absolutely know the gods are real, but they don't worship them. They do their best to avoid any sort of contact with supernatural beings. Here's Granny talking to her partner in witching, Nanny Ogg. I don't hold with paddling with the occult, said Granny firmly. Once you start paddling with the occult, you start believing in spirits. And when you start believing in spirits, you start believing in demons. And then before you know where you are, you're believing in gods. And then you're in trouble. But then all them things exist, said Nanny Ogg. That's no call to go around believing in them. It only encourages them.
I like the idea of a witch that says that I don't go paddling with the occult.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't read Discworld.
The way magic and gods work there is very cool.
I need to read them.
It's kind of like the Rothfuss books, Kingkiller Chronicles, in that like there's a lot of logic to some
to
of
the
it.
Magic rules,
but then also there's like silly nonsense, and so like gods get power from belief. So there's a book
like in American Gods, which makes sense.
Right, there's a book called Small Gods. We've talked about where the god wakes up one day to be a small turtle because he's. People no longer believe in the god, they believe in the church. And witches and wizards are neat. Wizards are essentially the scientists of Discworld. Okay. They have a university, they
cool.
It's Nanny Ogg is cool. I don't remember Weatherwax. I haven't read.
I'm gonna read those books.
Yeah, it's a good series.
Question number three is hold on, I had it in my mind. I can't remember question number three. What is your geekiest hobby, William Donahue?
I like designing books. I've started converting public domain texts from the Gutenberg Project into print and ebook layouts for fun and for practical experience.
That's cool.
That is a really geeky
hobby. I like that a lot.
That is geeky. I love it.
That sounds interesting. I would love to see pictures of it.
Does he mention if he's local to the Twin Cities? Or?
He is. He's been at Convergence.
If he is, he should check out the Minnesota Center for Book Arts if he hasn't. They actually have, you can sign up for classes and stuff there to do typeset printing. You can do electronic layouts, and they have, like, printing presses, and you can make your own paper for your own books and stuff.
Very cool.
To do some typesetting there and book layouts for print press.
Awesome.
It was super tedious and fun. number four. What is your favorite sandwich?
Rye bread, margarine, just enough to keep the bread from getting soggy. Golden's mustard, and my grandmother's baked beans. I still haven't been able to recreate the beans as it requires washing the beans, soaking them overnight, washing them again, and then cooking them in a casserole with ketchup, molasses, brown sugar, etc. in a low oven for about 8 hours. She only made the beans for Thanksgiving, so it was a once-a-year treat.
Oh, wow. Man, that sounds really good.
A baked bean sandwich on rye bread. With Golden's mustard, which... I mean, any mustard's good.
Yeah.
But Golden's mustard is the best.
Yeah. It's very good. I like
the spicy brown?
Yeah.
The spicy brown stuff. Spicy brown.
That sounds good.
I would eat that sandwich. I'm going to try to make that sandwich.
Yeah, good.
That sounds good.
And I'm going to eat half of her sandwich.
I can make good beans. We'll see.
All right.
Question number five is what is the stupidest thing, stupidest even, something that someone has, I don't know what's going on, you guys. What's the stupidest thing someone has said to you about your atheism?
No one has actually said anything outright stupid about my lack of belief. Well, you're talking to the wrong people, man. My mom does occasionally push a bit, but it's never anything stupid or annoying. I don't know. If anybody pushes, I feel it is kind of stupid and annoying.
But well, but it's his mom, it's his so mom. Maybe he doesn't feel like it's too off-putting.
It's and we're really flexible with the stupidest things. Sometimes it's like, not necessarily stupidest, but like, insulting or least understanding or least sympathetic to being
or just
an
oblivious kind of thing.
Oblivious
is a good
oblivious
one.
Is
like,
another
like
good one.
When I had someone say like to me when I first started FFG, someone was like, "Oh, what are you guys doing for Easter?" I said, "Oh, we don't celebrate Easter." And she's like, "Are you Jewish?" And I'm like, "No, I'm an atheist." And she's like, "But so you don't celebrate Easter?" Like, I was like, "No." She's like, "Do you celebrate Christmas?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "But not Easter." I'm like, "Well, I mean, no. When I was a kid, we used to do baskets and, you know, eggs and all that stuff, but we didn't, like, go to church or anything." And she's like, "Huh. I guess it never occurred to me that atheists wouldn't celebrate Easter." And she was super, like, nice about it, but she was just like, "Huh." Like, I mean, because it's, you know, it's just, it's one of those, that's what you do. You either you're a Jew or you're a Christian. If you're white, I mean, what else is there? I mean, like,
there's no such thing as a white Muslim, so that.
Well,
can't,
yeah, I mean, that's just kind of how people. That's how people think. It's funny. All right, well, thank you, William Donahue. That was awesome.
Yeah.
If you want to answer our 5 questions, please send your answers to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. As always, you can email us with anything, Nick, Molly, or Tim at geekswithoutgod.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and come up to us at the Renaissance Festival. We want to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Awesome. This has been a good show, guys. This is a good show.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
I think we should give ourselves a little round of applause.
Yay.
It's a really good show. It's a good show. Good job. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, assorted stuff. We talked about stuff, and it was assorted.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Listen to past podcasts and catch us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. Follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God and like our Facebook page, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
That was an amazing monologue. Let's go to panel.